There's a lot of people that talk about doing. They say they can do things. I'm not a sayer. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. If I can't overcome the gym, or I can't make the sacrifice to get up at 5 in the morning, then how am I gonna do all the other stuff? Yeah. You might have a bad day at a business, but the point is, let me learn that lesson and let me keep going. You gotta get hired by somebody that's willing to pay you $50 an hour before they can pay you $100 an hour.
Everybody I know who's really getting it, they putting 8 to 16 hours in every day.
I worked at one of the largest law firms in the country. And so my first 2 years, I would like sleep on the floor in my office.
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis. And as I always say, I'm going to keep bringing some of the biggest and some of the best names in the entrepreneur and in the business world. And today I got somebody super special, CEO of Melt, like behind some of the biggest names in entertainment. Not only is this man a business man, he's also one of the biggest business attorneys there is in the world. My guy. Brandon Williams. What's up, man?
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Thanks for coming on, man.
It's a special moment. I always like these, and especially talking to your audience and talking to you, man. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Appreciate you being here, man. So we met through Marcus, really. Marcus used to hear Marcus talk about how his daughter and your daughter hung out and always hung out. And they said, yo, we got to meet each other. Like, the parents need to meet each other.
100%. Because Cameron and Emery love each other.
Right.
Best friends. Totally organic.
Yep.
And she would come home. She's like, Cameron. Cameron's like, I asked my wife, who is Cameron?
Right.
And, you know, then she met Turquoise and then so be it. And then I said, well, who's her husband?
Yep.
And funny enough, Marcus may or may not know the story. I ran into Marcus and we were going to London.
Mm-hmm.
I was going there for a project. And, you know, it ain't many of us sitting in first class going from Atlanta to London,
that's
right?
A fact.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, you kind of look around, you're like, who is that? And I saw him get off the plane, didn't know who he was. And then just randomly on Instagram, you know how sometimes you're just in the same area.
Yep.
So I'm in London, he in London, he posts in London. I see his Instagram, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, our daughters just end up being like the best friends. So it's like,
and go to the same
as I
school.
Always say, crazy. Good people find good people, man.
That's a fact. That's good. And it's always great when it ain't forced. It's just organic.
It just happened.
Like I was saying, I was at, you were out of town. I met your wife and your beautiful family at Marcus' house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just dope.
You yeah. Know, just it, and it's connecting. Like that. And honestly, man, the one thing that's a beautiful thing is, so my daughter, our daughters are in a French program in school. And
so they learning French right now.
They're learning French right now, 6 years old, kindergartners. But what's made it so amazing, a couple years ago, Emery says, Daddy, I really want to get Cameron a gift for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm okay. So, you know, go to Target and Mashawn calls Turquoise and says, hey, Emery wants to bring Cameron a gift. And she says, okay, cool. You can drop it off at our house.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, where are they?
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, we're in Paris for the holidays.
Yeah.
And again, if I just think about it, like, so Emery then said, I want to go to Paris.
Right.
Right? These are five-year-olds.
Right.
4 and 5 year olds.
Right.
And then we end up going to Paris for the summer. Yeah. Took Emery, took my mother. But if you just think about it, little children, like, moved that, motivated that. And so that's why we put them in the environments we put them in, because that's for real why we went to Europe.
Right.
Was because Emery wanted to go because Cameron, Turquoise, and Marcus were there.
Wow.
But think about that. Like,
that's crazy.
How powerful that is that five-year-olds are driving conversations like that.
Let me ask you this. You probably didn't grow up like that.
No. I mean, I grew up in a great household. Like, my parents are professionals.
Yeah.
But we were just middle class.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But it ain't it's not coming home. Dad, I want to go to Paris, and next month you in Paris.
I didn't even know what Paris was.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know what Europe was. I mean, obviously I read about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, our spring breaks were you just went out and play basketball.
Right. That's it. You go outside.
Football in the street, right?
Yeah.
You left. All you want to do is go outside at 10 a.m. and come back at 6.
Yep.
So I had a great upbringing. You know, my parents were always supportive of, like, education and sports and all of that. But, you know, we didn't have, like, discretionary income to go to Europe or go to Africa or go to the Middle East.
How important is that now? And you just, like, I feel so good. Like, I just look at my kids running our yard and I'm like, wow, you got a yard. Like, it's that may be small to someone else, but where I come from, drug infested neighborhood, Like, my yard was going around the corner to the basketball courts, sure, playing ball, drug-infested neighborhood, watching them sell dope. Like, that was my yard. So I'm like, my kids can – I'm from West Philly. They can't run outside almost anywhere in West Philly
even today.
Freely. In 2024, like, you're not going out in your yard, especially not your front yard, just running around. So I'm like, I feel so good that I worked hard and just stayed the course to see them be able to do something as simple as playing the yard.
I was talking to someone recently, and I was telling them, I said, look, now for the rest of, once you have your first child, it's legacy for them, right? Like, I've had a great life. I'm doing the things that I want to do, right? Yeah. But now is to make sure that they have amazing experiences, right? Like, again, my daughter, like, the stuff that she sees, she goes to the Four Seasons for, like, breakfast, right? Like, like, Dad, I want to go to the Four Seasons. Yeah. And again, it's just a further extension. Like, my parents were great. My parents were awesome. But, like, we didn't have necessarily the discretionary income to do the things that I'm able to do.
Yeah.
But they laid the foundation, right? And they gave me so many things that then I could, like, go from here to here.
Yep.
And then what the hope is that our children, right? Like, they're going to start here and they're going to take it to another level, right? That's the goal. Like, you know what I mean? Giving them these opportunities, learning French at 4 or 5 years old.
Game changer.
Right? And they're going to speak it and they're going to be like, oh, well, my friends are, you know, worldly, right? Like, I didn't go to school with anybody besides a Black person until I went to law school.
Wow. That's
crazy. Like, every single school I went to was all Black.
Wow.
Right? And, you know, again, great education, but a very different education.
100%.
My daughter's like, I look at her school, it's a rainbow.
Yeah.
Right? Her class is like, it's white, it's Indian, it's Black.
Asian.
There's Asian. I mean, it's just like a full, so the experience that she's going to grow up with is just going to be very different than mine.
Yeah.
But it's a blessing to be able to provide for them and for them to be able to see, you know, what this life can give. But you also have to show what I think is important. Because I saw the work that my parents had to do to even move the needle a little bit. We've been very blessed. And you got to explain to them so that they don't just think this just happened, right? Because they've walked into just a bountiful, what you've done, the work you've done. Your kids is going to grow up a certain way. They're like, my daughter's never, she's ridden in first class. She's never been in coach.
Yeah.
Ever.
Wow. Like, wow.
Anywhere we've gone.
Yeah.
Going to Paris, first class.
Yeah.
She in the bubble. She in the pod.
Yeah.
Go to LA, she in first class.
Yeah.
Right? And so how do you demonstrate to them that, you know, we've had to work for this?
100%.
Daddy wakes up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And he comes home at 10
Yeah.
because that's part of the life, right? And then making sure that they understand you're doing all this so that they can have these wonderful, expansive lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Let me ask you this question because you said something, but what is your plan of instilling in them that they also have to work? Because what I don't want to happen for me is I work so hard. I don't want you to feel, and again, I don't want, you know, the idea is not for you to get it out the mud, but I do need you to develop work ethic. I do need you to know I'm not really like I leave out the house today, daddy's going to work.
Yeah.
I said, you know, we got to work for everything we got.
Yeah.
No one's going to give you anything.
Yeah.
I'm telling them they 3, 4, like, okay, dad, like that was my 2-year-old, 4-year. Okay, dad. Like, wait, you got to go work again? Yeah, we got to work for everything.
I think
so. I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
I think it's just what you're doing. Like, when I left home this morning, my daughter said, well, daddy, where are you going?
Yeah.
And I said, daddy got to go to work. And it's just the little things I tell them. You got to show them, right? When my daughter was 2 years old, I was traveling, commuting back and forth from L.A., and she would see my bag. She equated it. She's like, that's daddy's work bag, right? So I'll pick that bag up or I pick some luggage up. She's like, daddy got to go to work.
Yep.
And so I think they just have to see you doing it. They've got to see you. They're watching all the time.
Yep.
If I'm on calls, I'm walking around the house, or even when it's like, oh, well, daddy's not going to set today, or he's not going to fly to anywhere. He's still working. He's still on the phone. He's still doing stuff every day, demonstrating to them, daddy does it. My mama does it. My mother is working. My mother has a business. And just demonstrating to them, it's like, I don't know that you can, like, always tell your children.
Right.
Show Sometimes them. You just have to show them.
Somebody told me some things are taught and some things are caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just have to know. Yeah. They got to see it every day.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't let up. So for me, it's like, these are my days. I mean, the alarm goes off at 5. But I go to the gym, I go do what I got to do. Then I come home and take her to school every day.
Yeah.
I don't miss. If I'm in town,
yeah,
I take her to school every single day.
Yep.
And that's the 15 minutes for us
yep.
to talk,
yep.
to how's your day? Because for me, I'm not going to be at home at 6 o'clock, right? Yep. That's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I drop her off and then I come back home, spend an hour with my son.
Yep.
Right. I got a 7-month-old son. So it's just making sure I order my day and then I'm out of the house at 9:30.
Yeah.
I ain't getting back till 9:30, 10 yep. o'clock.
Yep.
That's every single day. So yeah, they see consistency of daddy goes to work. Now, when I'm spending time with them, I'm with them.
Yeah.
Put the phone down, like spend time with them.
Yeah.
Show them that you know, last night I got home about 8 o'clock and me and my daughter just sat outside. It was a nice night. And we just sat out and talked for like 45 minutes
mm.
before she went to bed. She got to stay up because they didn't have school today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to take those moments to show them and instill in them, like, yeah, you got to go get it. And one of the things that I read a book is called Grit. And what the point of the book is that is the one thing that if anything you teach your children, you got to teach them that.
Grit.
And showing them that you got to, as you said, you got to fight for all of this.
Yeah.
Daddy Literally. Fights for all of this. I'm building this, but not to build it so you can just put your feet up.
Yeah.
I don't come from, you know, generational money.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. they're going to have to work.
Yeah.
I go to work every day because I don't have a trust fund.
Yeah.
I'm putting away money for them
yeah.
that, you know, they're going to start with stuff. They're going to have college funds. They've got, you know, retirement accounts or, you know, whatever, 529, whatever. Yeah. We got every account you can have for a child.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's the extension, right?
That's good.
You know, my parents necessarily couldn't do that, but like that's what we're giving them.
That's good. Let me ask you this, because you said something and it's starting to be a resounding thing for me on these last few shows we've yeah. done is the people who I see playing at the highest level, like yeah. you're one of the players at the highest level to be the high, like Mr. Harvey, high, like they're working harder than most people.
Oh yeah.
They're punching 12 to 14 hour days every day.
Yeah, no question.
And I'm talking about you don't have to, meaning like, yo, if I want to fall back a little bit, you could, like yeah. because I've set things up, but why is this work ethic still necessary? Because I'm trying to put in people's mind, like if you starting a business, you starting whatever you're doing, like you need to go put some work in because everybody I know who's really getting it, they putting 8 to 16 hours in every day.
Yeah, I mean, I learned early on, like, you know, I'm a pretty smart dude, right? But, you know, growing up, like I went to like, you know, basic schools,
yeah.
public school,
mm-hmm.
all my schools were public school.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to work hard. Like I could, you know, coast and get a 3.7, right? Like I was smart. I knew how to pick things up. My brain worked a certain way.
Yeah.
And I wasn't challenged at these schools. It was like, you know, 3.7. And, you know, I grew up, it was like, you didn't really want to be smart,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that was the environment. I did. I had this thing instilled in me when I was a kid. Like, I wanted to be successful. I just knew I was going to be successful. So when
where did you see success at? What made you say, how did you quantify successful at that time?
Like, yeah, you know, when I was like 14, 15 years old, man, like, the only thing I wanted to do was make $100,000 a year.
Yeah,
like that was
at 14. Like, where did you hear about 100?
Because
I wasn't thinking about 100. At
my
14.
Parents were professionals. My father's
okay,
a dentist.
Okay,
and my mom's a lawyer.
Got it.
And so I knew that, like, I don't know how. Maybe it was conversations they were having at the table. But like, my parents didn't make that, right?
Yeah.
So you know, they might have made whatever they made, $75,000.
Yeah.
And I just equated that, like, I want to make more than them.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I got to law school, you know, I went to Morehouse College. Same thing. Like, I was smart. So I could, like, kind of
get law school you went to?
I went to Emory University Law School here in Atlanta. But when I got to law school, it changed, right? It's almost like, you know, if you're a college basketball player and then you're a really good college basketball player and then you go to the pros, it's a different level.
100%.
Right? So everybody at my law school was smart. Everybody had a 3.8 GPA or had a 160, 165 on the LSAT. And so I walk in this room and I'm like, whoa, okay, first of all, like, it ain't that many of us in the school, right? And then everybody is
a big change from you seeing black your whole life all the way through Morehouse to
and then not I'm like,
many of you.
Everybody's
now.
Smart.
Yep.
Everybody comes from the best schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was like, you know, I just felt like this is what I got to do. And, you know, I just knew. So I was studying 15, 16 hours a day. I was sleeping in my car. Like,
wow.
Before I wouldn't even go home because I'm like, going home takes too much time. I want to be here when the library opens at 5 a.m., right? So, you know, I started then and it never stopped because I just knew for some whatever reason, everybody does it their own way. I didn't know nobody that didn't work hard and was successful.
Right.
I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, people that are great at like anything, that 10,000 hours is real.
Yeah.
Like before even Malcolm Gladwell said it, I knew it, right? Like if you're going to be great at football, you're going to be putting in time. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be great at weightlifting, you're going to be in the gym. If you're going to be a great librarian, you're going to read a bunch of books.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
So I just knew that it just took what it took, right? And I've always been able to be like 12, 14, 15 hours is nothing to me. Like nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's the minimum.
Yeah.
Right? And then results start happening.
It's the minimum.
Then results start happening, yeah. Right? You know, and then you're like, okay, you're starting to see some success. You're starting to see when you put in the work that it's actually turning into something. So then I worked at one of the largest law firms in the country. And again, I saw the people that were successful at that firm,
yeah.
Right? So then you leave law school and then this goes to another level.
You went right? straight out of law school to the, one to of the firm, largest yeah. firms?
I worked at a firm called yep. Alstonberg.
Yep.
I was in one of their corporate litigation groups. And so then it was another level, right? So you went from law school where everybody was smart, but then only like 5 or 10% of them people are gonna get jobs at an Austin Bird or a King of Spalding or wherever. And so then you gotta up your game another level,
yep.
right? And so my first 2 years, I mean, like I would like sleep on the floor in my office.
Hey, you're looking at this and you're probably enjoying this episode and the strategies and the gems that I give you. This is just a fraction of what you learn in my mastermind, right? I would love for you to be able to learn more information on how he's able to help Carter Cofield make $1 million in one single day, how he's able to help Rochelle Parks make over $500,000 in a day, learn how he's able to help Tevin grow his Instagram following from 70,000 followers to upwards to 200,000 followers within 2 months. And again, those results are not typical, let me be very clear, but they are possible for those who are willing to put work in, energy, and effort. If you're looking at this video right now, I want you to go to the website mastermindwithneo.com so you can apply to see if you're a good fit for our mastermind. This is specifically for someone looking to grow their digital business, right? Even though, y'all probably even know David Shan, Sleepers for Suckers, he's inside of my mastermind. You probably know Sonya, the student loan doctor, he's inside of my mastermind. You probably know Darius Daniels, he's inside of my mastermind. Those are just a few more people who are absolutely crushing it as a result of being inside of the community. So listen, if you're looking at this, right, and you're probably looking at the episode like, man, you're dropping so much gems, but can you imagine how many gems you'll get when you're actually inside of the environment, when you're tapped into the community? But I want you guys to go to right now is mastermindwithneo.com so you do not miss out on your opportunity to get tapped in. You will have to apply. You will have to get on the call. And hopefully you make the cut to be a part of what we got going on. I'll see you on the inside. Let's get back to the episode.
Wow. And it was like, it was a floor like this, but it just had like some little carpet. So it's cold.
Yeah.
I put a jacket on because I felt like, man, I don't have time to go home.
Yeah. Grit.
Right? And folks, you know, look, some people think that's very like, that's too much. Right. And that's cool. It might be too much for you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
It ain't too much for me.
Yeah.
It's exactly where I want to be. Like, and so, you know, I've never let up. Right. And because I think, you know, look, there's more places I want to go. Like when you start raising the level, you still got to do more. And so, you know, you get caught up. It's like when I don't work. And it's like, okay, well, you know, my wife used to say when we would travel, she'd be like, do you ever take a break?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would I take a break? I love what I do. I enjoy what I do. Mm-hmm. It's not miserable for me. Yep. I enjoy representing people. I enjoy doing deals. Like, so if I'm in it and I'm doing the thing that I love to do, I wake up and love to do it.
It don't even feel like you're working.
Yeah. It's like, why am I taking my foot off the gas?
Yeah.
And I don't tell other people. I know other people ain't willing to do what I'm willing to do. And that's okay,
yeah.
Right? If you wanna get home at 5 o'clock every day, spend 4 hours with your children, it's amazing. We just have different lives.
Yeah.
And I don't have any regrets about it because I'm a big person that says quality over quantity,
yeah.
Right? When I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids, right? But at the same time, I also know part of me giving to them is showing them what a life could be.
Yeah.
They're going to decide whatever life they want to have. Mm-hmm. You want to be an artist? Go be an artist.
Yeah.
But be the best artist. And if you're going to be an artist, it's going to take hours and hours and hours and hours of doing it, right? And so if you want to be a half artist, then you can work half the time. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a quarter artist, You can work a quarter of time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be a full businessman. Yeah. I want to be a full lawyer. I want to be, and so all of it is urgent for me.
Yeah.
All of it's important to me. And so it takes the time it takes. And I don't shy away from that. I'm not like, oh God, I'm so tired. I'm excited. I wake up, I go to bed at 10, 11, 12. I'm excited when the alarm goes off. Yeah. God gave me another shot, man.
Gotta go get it. That's good.
Gave me another shot.
And that's powerful, man. I hope people are listening and understanding that you gotta really go get it out
here.
You gotta go. And if you are not, if you're not liking what you're doing, you probably need to change what you're doing.
Yeah, I think you should enjoy what you do. I 100%. Mean, are there things about your job or your career that you might not like? Sure.
Yeah.
But if you're every day complaining about what you're doing, one, I don't know how you're going to be successful at it.
That's a fact.
Because you got to put so much into it, so much of your person into it. You got to make so many sacrifices. If it's just drudgery and misery for you, I don't know how you're going to do it consistently and put in the time to not feel like, oh my God, I got to go to work. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to. And look, there's all kinds of jobs. And everybody's not going to be what I try to explain to people. Everybody's not going to be you. Facts. Not going to be an amazing entrepreneur. You have people that work for you.
Yeah.
Right. But be the best audio person.
100%.
Be the best cameraman. Be the best chef. Yep. There's so many jobs that you're supplying. Right. But don't look at it as drudgery. And even if you're like, look, man, I'm trying to do this so I can go somewhere else. Cool.
Get at everything you got. But in the meantime,
right now, I'm going to need you to do this great. Because what I also know is I don't know nobody that's like worked for me or worked around me that half-assed that thing and then became and catapulted themselves.
That's a fact.
Because how you do this thing is how you're going to do everything.
That's what I say. I say how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah, it's like when I go to the gym, like I'm in there. The part of that is confidence for me. Yeah. That set was really hard today.
Yeah,
I was doing these straight leg deadlifts, man. That was heavy.
Yeah,
it hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you gotta finish, because to me that also lends itself to the rest of the day. There's gonna be something tough that's gonna happen today, right? I'm gonna leave here and it's gonna be something on my phone that I gotta deal with, and I need that mental fortitude. Yeah. Some people think the gym is just to like, oh, okay, well, I just want to look good. Nah, it's to build this like thing, the strength, right? And sometimes it's mental strength.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's physical strength. Sometimes it's overcoming something.
Yep.
And that's gonna help you during your day.
That's good.
Right? If I can't overcome the gym, or I can't make the sacrifice to get up at 5 a.m. to go to this, I can't get up to go and like I gotta go fly out to wherever. If I can't do that, then how am I gonna do all the other stuff? How can you depend upon me to be here at the expected time? You tell me the call time is this. Yeah. I got a call time.
Yeah.
If someone else says I got to be on this call at this time, I got to be on that call at that time. So all of these things work together. That's you good. Know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me ask you, when did you make a decision to be a lawyer? Knowing your mom was one.
Yeah.
When did you say, hey, I'm going to go do this?
I mean, I've always been like a good like problem solver. So I was a mathematics major.
Got it.
Right. So I always liked solving problems.
Yeah.
And I also was great at like talking. Like I could always communicate. Well, I was always the person that did the speeches at church. And like when I was growing up, I was never like uncomfortable in front of audiences, in front of groups. And so I was a sophomore or junior at Morehouse. And I was like, oh, well, you know, my parents never pushed me. Mom never said I need to be a lawyer. But I was like, well, I'm good at all these things. And I was really good at math. And I was like, well, law is kind of like problem solving. Like, you know, so I started studying for the LSAT, which is the preparatory exam you have to take, kind of like the SAT for college. They have a thing called the LSAT, the legal SAT. And I started preparing for that. And I like the process, right? Yeah. I'm a journey person, right? I like the grind. Yeah. Some people don't like the grind of stuff. Honestly, the end thing don't even really matter to me.
Yeah.
It's like, I like
the process
leading up to it. So anyway, I my junior year, I was like, oh, I'm gonna study for the LSAT. I did well. I was like, you know, this seems like something I could do. Apply to some schools, got in a lot of schools. And then I just decided to go. And obviously I had the background of my mother having been a lawyer. And you don't, again, this is what I talk about, like showing your children. Like there were so many things I knew from just being in the presence of what she did.
Yeah.
When I walked into a law firm, like I knew so much more than some of the people that I worked with because I was around it since I was like 10, 11 years old.
Right.
Right. And it's not something that, you know, my parents sit me down and like, oh, this is how this works.
Yeah. But you
it was
catch
just our
it.
Life. It was at
yeah.
dinner.
Yeah.
It was like she's talking about legal things at dinner. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I know what that is. Yeah. Or so there was a comfortability about it. And that is, I think, you know, what we talked about earlier about what you give your children. So I decided to go, you know, my junior year in college, and you know, obviously it's been an amazing, you know, experience. It was one of my best experiences. But it didn't just stop at the decision to go to law school. Then it, like what I talked about, what I had to do when I was there to do well, right? And had to make the sacrifices. My friends will tell you, so, you know, we graduated from college, everybody kind of either doing jobs or they go do different things. My friends didn't see me for 3 years. Mm. And I mean that. Like, on Friday nights, I was studying.
Yeah.
And on Saturday afternoon, I was in the library. And so, you know, but these are still my friends today. It's just there was 3 or 4 years.
I'm grinding.
They never saw me.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, oh, you know, I remember one of my best friends since I was 8 years old got married when I was in my first year. I sent my mom with a gift because I was like, I got to study.
Yeah.
And some people think that's insane. And maybe I'm just wired
it's different.
A different
if
way.
You want a different lifestyle.
You got to be different. Say,
the 1% has what the 99% don't, because they be basically willing to do it. Most people ain't willing to do nothing extra. So you
and to do it, you got to think. I've been this way for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
25 years.
Yeah.
This didn't start with, like, you don't get to a certain level, right? You got to be doing this. I've been putting in these hours for 25 years.
Wow.
Right? And some people think, oh, it's just like this little shortcut. Oh, I can just start working hard this week. It doesn't work that way.
Facts.
Like, the universe doesn't work that way. It's not going to let you cheat, right? And again, some people can do it a different way. And if you can find a way to do it a different way, so be it, man.
Yeah.
Like, more power to you. I know what my way is. I know if I put, it's like a thrust on your car, right? When you press the gas, it goes. When you press the gas harder, it goes faster. When you press the gas harder to the floor, it goes real fast, right? And I kind of think about, like, business and life that way. It's like when I need to ramp up, like, I need to press the gas. I can't do it at 50. I can't do it at 55. I can't do it at 60.
Yeah.
I got to press it so it goes 75. I got to press it to go 80. And so I got to put some force in that. That's the same way, like, life and business is, right? Yeah. If you trying to get to this destination, you don't get to work for 4 or 5 hours, right? You got to work 4 or 5 hours, and then you got to work 4 or 5 more. And you got to get home and, like, oh, I'm still on my phone. It's 9 p.m. I'm going to take a break to put the kids to bed. But I'm coming back to my phone and my computer. Now, when you start rising up, you have people under you. But even that, like, I'm still the person. They got to see and know that, you know what? I'm still can press every one of these buttons.
Yeah.
It don't matter who under me. It don't matter who works for me.
Yeah.
I got to be able to step in. I don't care what stage it is.
Yeah.
And I'm the person that can do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine. Somebody call out. Okay. But I'll be there.
Yeah.
I know it. I know how to do everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, in my practice, in my law firm, I know how to do everything.
Yeah,
it don't matter. I got associates.
Yeah,
they might not be there. They might be sick.
Yeah,
I might have to go run this business. But, like, no, I gotta know it, because when somebody calls me, they not calling my assistant.
Yeah,
they calling my assistant to set something up. They calling me when they need an answer.
Yeah,
and I gotta have an answer. I can't say, oh, let me go call, you know, such and such that works for me. No, I gotta know it. And how you know it cold is repetition, it's time, it's hours. You're involved in a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And again, everybody has a different way. Yep. Oh, you should delegate more. I do delegate, but I still got to know it.
Yeah.
Because what if that person ain't there?
100%.
You know what I mean?
Nothing stops the show.
No.
Yeah, that's good. I tell people all the time, like, bro, there ain't nothing going to stop the show.
I'm sure you can work every one of these cameras. I'm sure you can figure out a way to deal with the mic.
I can't work your camera now. I can work the cell phone, though, but I'll figure out.
Yeah, I'll
figure something out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you said something that's so powerful that I wish I grasped earlier on. It's like, up until 21, like, I half stepped everything. I cheated my way through school.
Yeah.
It was always someone else's fault. It was always the blame game. Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
But when I made that decision that I'm going to be a full-time entrepreneur, that I'm going to commit, it's been 15 years, and I can say during it, I started giving everything, even though I was doing some of the wrong things, working some of the wrong business, although I didn't have mentors and certain things, I was still giving it everything I got, even if it wasn't the right business.
Yeah, and
so
I think
it's important.
Yo, I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find a space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia, now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training, or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training, or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, all of them are lessons.
Oh, that's right? True.
It isn't, there are no, oh, I was in the wrong thing. It's just a lesson.
100%.
Right? When something doesn't go right, look, we're all in this to win, right? Yeah. If you're competing at highest levels, you're trying to win.
Yeah.
But there's other people competing at that highest level too.
Wow.
Right?
100%.
Everybody want to beat Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But it ain't a lot of people beating him. Everybody want to beat LeBron right. James.
Ain't a lot
when
of people
you playing
beating
at that level, some people, they're gonna get the best of you some days. Some business might not work every single day.
Yeah.
You might have a bad day at a business. But the point is, let me learn that lesson and let me keep going. What I try to tell like everybody around me, like, I don't care if we fail. I don't care. Because one, if you're playing at the highest level and you're doing things that you've never done before,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna fail.
Yep.
Right? If it's easy and everything is working all the time, you ain't trying hard enough.
Mm.
Right? I'm pressing the envelope every day.
I'm
in waters that I ain't never been in.
Mm.
Right? I'm trying to get to more waters.
Yeah.
I want to get to the Indian Ocean, right?
Wow.
Because that's where more greatness is,
yeah.
right? If I'm just swimming in the kiddie pool, I can just stand up.
Yeah.
And it's easy,
yeah.
right? But like you got to push.
Yeah.
And pushing means you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Because you've never done it.
100%.
And if you don't have the experience to it, and then what happens is you learn from that, right? Like what the things that didn't work out that I knew or learned 15 years ago, it's come back in something I'm doing today. So I looked at it and like remembered 15 years ago what happened,
yep.
what didn't happen,
yep.
why'd it go wrong.
Let me get that.
And then I incorporated something today and it did work today.
Yep.
Right. So
good.
I don't look at things like, oh, I
wish
lost.
That didn't happen. It was
yeah.
a lesson.
No,
part
a
of
lesson.
The plan.
And it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And that thing, I have a way of like recollecting moments. I have a way of recollect. I can remember deals I did 15, 17 years ago. And it might have been smaller, but there was something in it that like I'm still doing today, but it's just now, it's just a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But the pieces I learned 15 years ago when it was like, you know, a $10,000 deal.
Yeah.
Like now it's $10 million on the line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that lesson I learned when it was $10,000, if I didn't get that,
yeah.
so when the thing you talk about shortcuts, the reason they're important, the reason all of them matter, even when it's like, oh, somebody's paying you, you know, $50 an hour, right? Well, the reason it's important is because at some point you're trying to get so they pay you $500 an hour.
Mm.
You're trying to get to a point where they pay you $1,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't learn the $50 an hour lesson, ain't no damn way you're going to get to the $500. You're not going to get there because all of them add up.
They stack up.
They all add up.
Yeah.
If you can't handle managing five people, how are you going to manage 50 people?
Yeah. That's
right?
true.
So take the moments when it's like, oh, we just got two people in our company, right? Me and this person.
Yep.
You need to learn all the lessons when it's two people so you can get to 20 people.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. If you skip them, you just going to come back.
100%.
Right? You're going to get to the 20 people and then you're going to be back to the two people.
That's right.
Because you didn't learn something that you needed to learn at that moment.
That's good.
So I think I all of them matter.
Yeah.
I think every single thing matters. Every deal matters. I don't try to skip over something and say, oh, I'm too big for this, or I can't do this, or
yep.
I done made it too far. No,
yeah.
it's something to learn there.
That's good. Let me ask you this. I mean, 14 years old, 13, 14, you said I'm going to make 100,000.
Yeah.
That's a visionary.
Yeah.
You doing deals in UAE with Mr. Harvey, Kevin Hart, Mimosa, am I
yeah.
saying?
How Jason Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa. Yeah. Vision, like you're going over there, you're creating deals and opportunities that weren't available or people not even thinking about. You're going over there. Like, I tell B, I need to go do some business in UAE.
You do, absolutely.
But I'm saying, you're over there, most people just here. Y'all been over there for years. Like, where did that idea come from where you like, yo, we need to go tap into this whole other, like, how did that come about?
So I think one, I mean, Steve is an amazing visionary.
Yeah.
Like, one of the nicknames I give him is God's favorite, man. Mm-hmm. I never seen nothing like it. Like, he sees things before, like, anybody sees him. Like, everybody thinks his talent is it. I think it's his vision, right? And he just believes certain things. He'll see it, right? The thing that I've been able to bring to him and to the organization, I believe, is he'll say something, right? Like, he told me back in 2018, he called me. He was in Botswana in Africa. Mm-hmm. And he called me and he said, hey, he calls me B. So he said, hey, B, how you doing? I said, good. He said, what you need? He said, hey, man, I want to shoot television in Africa. Mm-hmm. And, like, didn't say nothing else. And I said, okay. Because I tend to say, okay.
Yeah.
I might not have the answer right then. I never even been to Africa, right? And so I hung up the phone and I got activated, right? So what he has the vision, and then I go figure it out, right? I go figure out, like, who do we need to connect to? Who do we need to call? So I made a phone call to the person that ran this studio. I said, connect me with the person that runs, like, North Africa and the Middle East. They connected me to that person. I said, okay, well, how would this work? Like, just give me, for giggles, explain it to me. Yeah. Literally, like, had an hour call. Then that led me to another. Oh, well, let me introduce you to the biggest production company in South Africa. Cool. Flew to Johannesburg. I've never been to Africa. I've never been on the continent.
Yeah.
Flew to Johannesburg. Didn't know anybody. I knew this one person. So I flew there, spent a week, learned everything. I was sitting on a chalkboard, had them walk me through how you would create a television show. How would you do it? What do you have to do? What is the ad model? What's the commission model? Like, okay, what do we get sponsors from? Like, okay, well, introduce me to people at Coca-Cola in South Africa. And learned all of this information, right?
In a week.
And then brought it back to him and said, all right, I think we can do this.
Hey, stop what you're doing. I know you're watching this episode. I want you to go to 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I'm gonna say it again, 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I had the privilege this year to help multiple people do 6 and 7 figure days leveraging virtual events. And I put together a 7-step process that's gonna walk you through it step by step by step. And once you're done with that book, if you're like, Neo, I wanna learn this a lot more in a deeper sense, I want you to go to mastermindwithneo.com. This is one pillar of my mastermind, right? We got 5 different pillars that we teach. This is just one pillar, how to dominate virtual events, right? So if you're interested, go to mastermindwithneo.com and book a call with my team to see if you are a good fit to join our mastermind. Let's go.
This is how we do it. And I literally walked in and he like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right? It was somebody he could give an idea to.
And you ran it.
And ran with it. And then later that year, we shot a television show in Africa. Ended up being the number one show in South Africa, one number one show in Ghana. Like, because he said something. But you can have a vision, but you got to have people that can help you do it, right? Hmm. He couldn't necessarily go and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what I brought to the table was, like, I can go do it. So very similarly, he started going to the Middle East. And then, you know, I would meet people, and I'd introduce this person. He'd say, hey, I want you to talk to this person. And then one of our business partners now, he and I had a long, long discussion on the phone. I was in Johannesburg doing some work. And he and I are now, I remember this vividly. We had a 2-hour call. And I was like, that's our way in. He was smart. He's young. He's a hustler. And he had ties to the region.
Yeah.
And when we got together, it just started to blossom. And then these opportunities for the Kevin Harts, for the Jason Momoas, for all of this talent, for the golf tournament, taking like celebrities from the US over to the Middle East. So it's like, he has the vision. God's favorite got the vision. He'll tell you something. But what I fill in the blank is I go do shit.
Yeah.
Right? What I tell people, one of my greatest skill sets is I know how to get stuff done. Yeah. Like, I've been winning for a long time. Mm. And I say that because you got to get in the habit of winning. You got to learn to get stuff done. Right? Like, there's a lot of people that talk about doing, right? They say they can do things. I'm not a sayer. I'm not a talker.
Yeah.
I'm a doer, right? If you tell me we got to go do something, I'm going to be right there on the front lines figuring it out. And not because I got all the answers. It's just I'm willing to press the envelope. I'm willing to go swim in the Indian Ocean and figure it out. And that's a skill set, right? So I think it's the coupling of the two.
Is that skill set something that's in you, or can you develop it? Because you've been this way for 20 plus years based on what I'm hearing. So you always been the go-getter. You always been had vision. You always was a smart guy. I'm like, I don't got a lot of people around me that I can say it and they going to go do it. I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to say, go do this. I want to just say, we need to go do some deals in Africa.
Yeah.
And somebody come back and bring me a deal in Africa. Yeah. I want to say, hey, we should do this show. And now the show is about to be done.
Yeah.
I don't got enough people around me that
I think,
could go do
so
that.
So it's a great question. And I think the answer is somewhere in between. I would say I am uniquely gifted at it. I don't.
It's your gift.
I am uniquely gifted at it. If you tell me to go figure something out, I will figure it out. Now, again, I told you, I'm a problem solver, right? So I've been a problem solver since I was 12 years old, 10, 11 years old, doing math problems. I would look at cars and I'd be able to do division. Or I could look at that timer and say, okay, what is 40 divided by this? What is it? I mean, I've been doing that in my mind. So I'm a natural problem solver.
Yeah.
And then you start putting skill sets around it, then I can go figure out. So I'm uniquely gifted at what I do.
Yeah.
But I do think that you can learn those steps. I do think that you can become successful, right? And once you start getting some success, I think then that gives you confidence to do more, right? And so I do think it's a skill that can be learned and taught. But what I would say is the thing that I notice about people that are, sometimes around me, sometimes that are, work alongside, whatever it may be, and even people that used to be associates when I was a partner at a law firm, is I think sometimes though people think they can do it because they see you do it. Mm. And again, my point in that is it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's a little bit not by osmosis, right? I kind of always use analogy for sports. Bill Belichick has got 7 titles. There's a lot of people on his staff that got 7 titles, but when they get their own teams, they ain't winning too much, right? And so Bill Belichick did it.
Yeah.
And just because you were on the staff does not mean you're going to do it. Yeah. Right? A bunch of people work for Nike.
Yeah.
Right?
Not Phil Knight. What's my man's name?
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people that work for Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher.
Yeah. But they don't go do what he did.
Brian Shaw.
Yeah.
They've been around him for 15 years.
Yeah.
Something he has is uniquely gifted. Mm. Right? It doesn't mean they can't become a coach. It doesn't mean but they're not winning at his level.
Yeah.
Right? They had opportunities. And so I do think it's a skill set, right? And it's one that, like you said, it ain't that everybody's got it. It might be only 5 people, right? As I tell people all the time, and again, some people think this is a crazy statement, but it really isn't. There aren't 10 people in the world that can do what I do. Now, what I'm saying is the reason I say that, are there 10 lawyers that are as good as me? Absolutely. Are there 10 people that are in the entertainment business that are as good as me? Absolutely. Are there 10 people that have done international business deals as good as me? Absolutely. But find me that somebody that's done all 3.
Mm.
Right? So when I say there aren't 10 people, it ain't an ego thing. It's my experience, right? I worked for one of the best firms in the country, right? I was representing Arthur Blank and Home Depot when I was 27 years old, 28 years old. Right. So I got all the corporate experiences. Right. And then I come into this scenario, this unique, work for this supernova of an entertainer. Right. And I bring all of the business acumen that I had. And then that opens up even more opportunities where it's not only can I represent him and be involved with him, I can start go doing deals for all of these other supernovas as well,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I say there aren't 10 people, it's just there ain't 10 people that have had that breadth of experience, right? That have done as many things as I've done, have been blessed to do as many things as I've done. So it's not you can find 10 lawyers that are as good as me. You can find 10 managers or agents that are as good as me. You can find 10 deal makers
as good as me. But find somebody that could do all 3.
Find somebody that has done what I've done at the levels that I've done it. It ain't that easy to find.
Yeah.
So the long way of saying, yes, it can be learned, but there is a uniqueness to my experience. And that's just because of who I am.
Yeah. Fire. Wow. So I want to go, coach me now. I want to go to a country I haven't been to, meaning, and go build something. What is the formula to doing that? Like if I want to go into a country, Africa, a UAE, and go build a brand.
Yeah.
What's the formula?
Yeah, I think it starts with every place that has worked has been because of people, right? It is finding the right person or group of people who are already successful there and whatever it is that you want to do, right? Like you may bring something differently and unique, but if it's Ghana, there's 10 people that you need to meet in Ghana.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you the 10 who the 10 are.
Right.
If it's Johannesburg, there's 10 people that you need to meet. And I can tell you the 10 people you need to meet. If it's
are
the
these
UAE.
Politicians, like who are the people? Like,
I would say it's business people.
Got it.
Right? Like, because they're gonna have touches in politics.
Yeah.
They're gonna have, so for instance, the business partner that we do most of the business with in the UAE is 35 years old and he's uniquely.
And he's young.
Yeah. He's uniquely, he's an entrepreneur. He's in the automotive business. Like, it's nothing that I do.
Yeah.
But he has great relations with the government, right? And if you're in the UAE, you have to have some level of relationship in the government. So if it were there, I would start with him and I'd say, hey, let's go, Neo. I want you to meet X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Tell him what you want to do. And something is going to click in his mind like that. And he's going to say, all right, man, well, let me tell you how this will work. Let me tell you what I do in my business. You're going to hear something from him that's going to say what he did and how he built his business. That's going to trigger something in your mind. You're an entrepreneur. So you're going to figure out like, oh, okay, that's how it worked for his business. Then I can extrapolate that and go do it this way for what I want to do.
Yep.
So find somebody successful there. I think it's my experience has been someone in the business sector.
Yep.
They're going to have the political stuff. They'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Utilize them. And once that relationship is developed, the business almost don't matter. You already got all the skills to do it. You already, and what you do here can translate over there,
right?
What you do in New York can translate. What Marcus does can translate.
Yeah.
Like all people want to do is like be associated with good business people, do good business.
Yeah.
And again, the reason I like successful people in the business world is because you'll meet a lot of people that will tell you they can do a whole lot of stuff. And as you know, it ain't that many people that can do it.
Right.
So if I know you've built something successful and you've done something, then it's going to be easy for me to connect with you because we're going to resonate, right? Our experience is going to say, okay, this is how this works. This is how this works. All right, we can come together and build something. And to me, that's how it would work in a different country.
That's good. So go find some of the decision makers.
Go find somebody that's built something.
Yep. And right? That leads to, let me ask you this, because what I'm doubling down on this year for me personally, which I haven't done a great job, I do a fair job, but I want to deepen my relationships with the people I have. So yes, I could go meet more people, but all right, let me build a deeper relationship with you, right?
Yeah.
Let me build deeper with people versus keep meeting new people.
Yeah.
Build deeper because it seems like a lot of things are coming. Most things are coming. Big things come from who you know. It's a relationship game.
100%.
It's not a. You got to know somebody to go infiltrate. I just went to Africa. We did a water well. We paid for a hospital, all the bills. Like, we did some motion. But someone set all of that up for me.
Yeah.
But if I tried to do that from here not knowing anyone, that would have been all type of challenges.
And it would have taken forever. It would have been, a year for you to, like,
it took make 2 weeks. And I didn't do anything other than say, I'm ready to go and write a check. And they
I
put
like
it all
the
together.
Deepening relationships. One of the lessons I learned, I was a baby lawyer. I had been practicing maybe 4 or 5 years. And I went to go talk to the general counsel at Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I think his name was John Brock at the time. I think so. But anyway, I was just asking him questions. I like to talk. I like to ask people who are successful, how did you become successful?
Yeah.
What was the big turn for you?
Yeah.
What was the thing? And I'm talking to him. And, you know, I ask him, well, how do you decide, like, which lawyers you're going to hire? Because it's a lot of lawyers.
Yeah.
He said to me, he said, I've never hired a law firm. I've always hired people.
Mm.
A person.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you talk about relationships, everything that happens in our lives is relationships.
100%.
The relationship with your spouse.
Yeah.
the relationship with your partner, the relationship with your children. It's all relationship based. And they're going to, I'm going to pick up the phone and call you before I call somebody I don't know.
100%.
You're going to tell me, oh, this is what I do. This is my space. So when it does pop up, oh, let me call Neil. Mm-hmm. Or if something, someone says, hey, man, I'm looking for like a great business lawyer. You're going to be like, I know 10 of them, but I really know Brandon.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him work. I've seen his work ethic.
Yeah.
So I can trust when I make that referral, he's going to take care of him. 100%. Right? Because that referral is also on you. Because if it goes bad, they're not going to be looking at me.
100%.
They're going to be looking at you. So the deepening is important because you got to trust the people on the other side. Right. And so you got to really, really know. And the only way you can really, really know is like you spend time with them. Right.
100%.
Like you sit down and have dinner and say, all right, like, tell me what you do. Like, what, how does it work? And not because I'm trying to be competitive with you. It's just like when the opportunity comes up and I need to explain to somebody, hey, this is why you call Neil. This is why you call Brian Rand. This is why you call Ken and Sappho. Mm-hmm. I know those people. I've done business with them. I've represented them. So when their opportunity, whatever they focus on, that small thing comes up, it's easy for me to like make that phone call.
That's good.
And so I love the deepening relationships. Yeah, like I don't have like 50 people. I know 50 people.
Yeah.
But the people that I am in relationship with, it's like 5.
Yeah.
It's like 10.
Wow. Yeah. And just building with
and build on those.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are important.
Yeah.
You know, your clients aren't gonna be, you ain't gonna necessarily have 100 clients.
Yeah.
You need 5 good ones.
Yeah, 100%.
You need 5 really good ones that are there every single month.
Yep.
And the other ones come and go.
Yep.
You know, but you building off them 5.
Yeah, some pillars. Yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, what's some things to being, I mean, you look at, like you said, I'm looking at $10 million deals. Like, what if you, like, not, you can, basically, a lot is riding on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people's businesses is in your hands 100%. On that contract, making sure it's right. Like, is there some like we're now doing more agreements and more things. And I'm like, are multiple people looking at these agreements? Like
I mean, for me, it's mostly me and maybe an associate. But again, what comes with that is I was working on something last night for a client, and what comes with that is, like, again, it's 20 plus years of looking at these agreements.
Right.
I know where the holes are. I know where the pitfalls are.
Yeah.
I know where it's gone wrong. I've been on the other side when I had to represent somebody to help them get out of it.
Right.
So I've seen so many different things that I can quickly get to some and be like, Neil, these are the 3 things that matter.
Yeah.
Compensation, risk, indemnification, termination. Like, there's all these legalese. But it's like 5 areas that's really gonna matter.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what happens if you need to get out? Like, if this gets breached, what are your remedies?
Yeah.
Right? I know what the pressure points are, so to speak. I know where the problems are. So it's gonna be you getting 20 plus years of flipping through 50, 75 page documents and reading them word by word, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, and then being like, okay, this is a problem, or this isn't. We got to fix this. We got to work on this. Oh, let me change that language. And I can, I got a great recollection. So I think, you know, for me, if you work, if it's with a law firm, I mean, shit, they got 30 lawyers that work on something. Yeah. But I got the mind of 10 lawyers.
Yeah.
Because I've seen what those 10 lawyers have seen, yeah. Right? At a very, very high level.
Yeah.
And I've also seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's the other piece. It's like, I've seen different sectors.
Yeah. Different countries.
Yeah. Like, you know, and when we first were going to like Africa, everybody's like, oh, you got to hire a law firm in Africa. And I did. I hired this firm called Bowman's. It's like the biggest law firm in Africa. And I was like, talking to them, I was like, I know more than this.
Yeah.
So I just like, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, that's experience. That's confidence.
Yeah.
But the confidence comes from experience.
Yeah.
It's like, because you've done it.
And here's the thing. If you're doing big deals, Steve Harvey, Kevin Hart, those are big, big deals. So you go look at a deal I'm doing, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a walk in the park.
But it's not that, right? Like, I tell people all the time, like, I have a broad spectrum of clients. I got clients that are, you know, $500,000 businesses.
Yeah.
right? And I treat them just like I would treat anybody. Yeah. That you're a $500 million.
See, I didn't know that. I thought you only.
No, yeah. I got clients that run the spectrum. I got the clients that run the spectrum, truly. Yeah. Like, I've represented startups.
Yeah.
I've represented tech companies.
Yeah.
I've represented, like, brands.
Yeah.
Like, I love what I do. So when I say, you know, again, it can come a point where it's like, it just doesn't make sense,
yeah.
right? My hourly rate is my hourly rate. I would tell somebody, this is what it costs.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be to do a deal. But like, my clients are, you know, I mean, I'm representing a client right now. We're buying like multiple like FedEx businesses,
yeah.
right? They're not a gajillionaire,
yeah.
but it's a significant deal for them 100%. And their family.
100%.
And I've always wanted to represent people that look like us.
That's good.
I've always wanted to represent because we don't normally get legal services at that level.
100%.
Right? And if I can bring that level to what they're doing, then how quickly can they catapult and grow and expand their businesses? So, no, I'm you would be surprised about all the people I represent. It doesn't, for me, I love what I do and I love to be able to help. Now, again, you come at me and say, hey, man, I got this little $100 contract, I'd probably refer you to somebody else.
Yeah, 100%.
But if you got motion and you got a business, and you're doing deals and you got contracts that you need looked over, that's what I do day in and day out.
Got it. Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no.
That's what I do day in and day out.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah. yeah, man. It's just been, this has been powerful just really understanding just the game at a high, like I've had lawyers, but you're talking at a whole different level. Like, yeah. and I'm learning now. I heard Jay-Z, like, having a lawyer is everything.
Yeah.
Having the right, like, I know he got the right lawyer. Like, having the right lawyers is...
Yeah.
Is everything.
And look, I mean, the other piece of that is you gotta have like some courage when you do what I do, right? Because if it goes wrong, you know, it's on the front page of TMZ.
Right.
It's on the front page of the New York Post.
100%. Right?
And so you gotta really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta be willing to like, I'm willing to bet the house, right? Because if this goes left, This ain't just, you know, when I'm doing deals when I was at Austin & Bird, it's like, yeah, they're high level, but like it's Coca-Cola. Mm. It's UPS. It's FedEx. That ain't going to be on the news.
Yeah.
I mean, and if it is, it's like they're not associating me with having done that. If something goes wrong with like some of these like superstar talents, the first person they're looking at is me.
Yeah.
And like, so think about
who you're legal.
Think about that, right? So you got to be on your P's and Q's, because if one thing goes wrong, it's on the front of TMZ. We live in a very like pop culture world.
Yeah.
So they care more about that, and they care about people that represent Dell or, you know, Apple, right? Like nobody knows who the general counsel of Apple is. I do, but you probably don't.
Yeah.
Right? So if something goes left of Apple, it's like, oh, this patent got, you know,
and
canceled.
When you say general counsel, for those listening, that's essentially... That's who I'm going to for everything.
Yeah,
I got questions. I got concerns.
So your business has, you've got a variety of different things. You have a lawyer or a law firm that they serve as your general counsel.
Got
so anything that comes up, oh, well, you got a real estate matter? Cool. All right, well, we got people that do leases.
Yeah.
All right, well, you got an event space?
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the agreement for the event space.
Yeah.
Here's what you got to be protecting against. What if something goes wrong?
Yeah.
All right, you got an insurance issue. All right, there's lawyers that look at insurance, right? So that general counsel is navigating all of your issues, right? You got specialties, right? You got people that are litigators. You got people that are corporate lawyers. You got people that are bond lawyers. You got people that are just real estate lawyers. Your general counsel like helps manage all of that for you. So when they do have, when you got a tax issue, then they got tax lawyers on speed dial say, hey, I got this tax issue with Neo's company. Here's what we're doing. All right, so if we're going to do business in Africa, like I need a tax lawyer to deal with this. What about this? How do we bring the revenue in? That's what they do. So your 100%. General counsel helps manage.
Put it all together. Fire. Any client that you want to work with that you haven't yet?
I mean, like you said it, Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah, that'll be crazy. I mean, that's like, what happened.
That was like a decade ago. I was like, man, I want to represent Jay-Z. And mostly because of who he is and what he does. Like I just love what his businesses do. And how they operate, he handles things at a level that, you know, most people don't. And so if it were one person, I've represented all types and all kinds. And I know he's got fabulous lawyers, but if I had my wish list, it would be Jay-Z.
Is there anything else you want to share with the people that they may need to know that I didn't ask?
It was a great conversation.
Yeah,
man.
Me too, bro.
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, again, the only thing I would say is, like, you know, I am who I say I am.
Yeah.
Right. Like, good. What I'm not talking. It's like, as I said, I've done this. Right. Yeah. And so
really do this.
Yeah. It's like, I really do this. So it's like, you know, people call me all the time. I get a lot of folks that are like asking me questions. They're like, oh, it's like I've forgotten more than like what I'm doing currently, like just because of my experiences, right? So I think find people that have actually done it. I was talking to a client yesterday, and you know, they were like, "Oh, we're having like these issues," and I said, "One of the lessons that I learned a while ago is like when you're picking anything, anybody, any kind of vendor, anything, that's managers, whatever, ask them, say, hey, introduce me to three of your current clients."
Mm. Tabidi said that too.
I want to speak to him.
Yeah, he got that.
I want to speak to him.
Yeah, I like that.
I want to speak to him. Because if you ain't done it for them, you can't do it for me.
100%. Right? I like that.
So I think to the audience, it don't matter who you hire or who you're engaged with, who you're becoming partners with, talk to people that they say they're doing business.
Send me a list of three people that you work with already.
Yeah. I want to talk to them.
Yeah.
That's good. If they say they can't,
that means
that's your answer.
We got that's fire right there.
If they say they can't or they won't, okay.
Yeah. Say no more.
Won't be doing business with me.
Yeah.
And there you go. And it'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah.
It'll save people a lot of energy.
That's a hack right there. Yeah.
It'll save people a lot of energy, a lot of time. Ooh. If what you say you can do, show me the three people you've done it for.
Because you could do a lot of talking.
Yeah. And a lot of people do a lot of talking.
They're
a lot
good
of people
at talking.
Do talking because they've been around something, but have you done it, right?
All
right. Like, that's the thing. That will skip a lot of steps. If you show me somebody that you inked a $1 million contract with.
Yeah.
If you say you can get me a $1 million contract.
What if they say it's an NDA, I can't talk about it?
Okay, well, you're going to need to find some kind of way. I just want to talk to him on the phone. You can be on three-way.
Yeah.
I ain't got to get into the specifics. You told me you can get a $1 million deal. Mm. But have you done it for somebody else?
That's good.
Because if you ain't done it, how do I know? You don't have the experience to do it. As I tell people all the time, you got to get hired by somebody that's willing to pay you $50 an hour before they can pay you $100 an hour.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You asking me to pay you what? Show me three people that are paying that right now, Brandon. No problem.
You know what else?
Let me dial it up.
Yeah. I be showing people that be asking for the most outrageous. I'm like, bro, you ain't got your stuff together, man. Like, what you trying to crack me and like. What's
like, you trying to come up off of me, but like, I want to know you've done this before. Okay, you're going to charge me $200,000 for that pool in. Show me the other pools you did, and I want to know that's what they paid too.
Yeah, and right? I want to know how recent this was.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that will be a takeaway for me is just to tell people it's like any kind of business relationship you're entering and somebody's selling you on something, hey, can you introduce me to three of people you've done this recently with in the last year?
Yeah.
You can get me a $500,000 deal. You've done that before?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that.
With you. Yeah.
So put me in contact with the three people.
Wow.
And if you say no.
That's my answer.
That's my answer. Because three ain't a lot.
Yeah.
If you're selling this
what
thing
you do,
to me, three ain't a lot.
It's nothing. Yeah.
And it might be just, okay, you ain't had to sell that. You could have just said, hey, man, the only thing I've done is $10,000 deals.
100%.
Awesome.
Perfect.
I might be looking for that.
Yep.
But you trying to sell me on something
that
you ain't never
done. Don't
oversell me. You ain't got to oversell.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if the audience take that away, man.
That's it.
Whatever you're doing, whatever the level is.
Yeah.
Somebody tell you they can do something for you, or they say that, let's go into business together. Yeah. I done built this. Let me talk to the last three of your deal partners.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow. B, man, this is fire. Let everybody know how they could tap in with you as we
close
out.
So my Instagram is Mr. Bizlaw, MrBizlaw. My email is Brandon, BRANDON, at LawCorp, LLC, LawCorp, LLC. If you need it from the Steve Harvey world, you can find me anywhere.
Yeah. And don't hit the email if y'all ain't serious, y'all, please.
And I'm going to find out real quick because I'm going to ask you to show me three people that you've done this with before, right?
100%.
So we're going to get to it real quick.
Yeah.
Right, I appreciate it, man. It was great.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Hey, guys, what another fire show, man. This was absolutely incredible. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Make sure y'all follow and tap in with Brandon and use them for legal services. I know I am. I'm letting y'all know that now. So
I appreciate that.
Man, without further ado, we'll see you guys on the next show. Let's get it.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below, share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my article and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.